Software development was in crisis. In 1993, Jeff Sutherland faced impossible deadlines at Easel Corporation when he discovered a Harvard Business Review article comparing high-performing teams to rugby formations, teams that move as one unit, passing the ball back and forth. This metaphor sparked what would become Scrum, now practiced by over 16 million professionals worldwide. Even tech giants like Google, Amazon, and Microsoft credit their agility to Scrum principles. When Jeff Bezos mandated two pizza teams at Amazon, he was essentially implementing Scrum's small, cross-functional team approach. The framework's influence has been so profound that Harvard Business Review named it one of the most important management ideas of the century. But why was this revolution necessary? And how did a simple framework transform not just software development, but organizations across industries? The waterfall method dominated software development for decades despite a peculiar irony. Its creator, Winston Royce, presented it in 1970 as an example of how not to develop software. Yet organizations embraced this sequential approach, requirements, design, implementation, verification, maintenance, because it aligned with familiar budgeting processes and promised to catch errors early through big design up front. But software systems are fundamentally different from physical manufacturing. They're complex and unpredictable. No matter how detailed your initial specifications, unintended consequences inevitably emerge during implementation. The evidence against waterfall became overwhelming. A 1995 Standish Group report revealed only 16% of traditionally run software projects finished on time and within budget, while 31% were canceled outright. In February 2001, 17 software development experts met at Snowbird Ski Resort in Utah. These organizational anarchists represented various emerging methodologies like extreme programming, Crystal, and Scrum. United by their frustration with documentation-heavy processes that failed to deliver, they created the Agile Manifesto. The manifesto prioritized individuals and interactions over processes and tools, working software over comprehensive documentation, customer collaboration over contract negotiation, responding to change over following a plan. The overphrasing is key. Agile doesn't eliminate documentation or plans, but emphasizes human elements and adaptability. The business case for Agile is compelling. It delivers value faster and more reliably than traditional approaches. Consider two identical projects: 6 engineers, part-time managers, and a $1 million yearly budget over 1.5 years. The waterfall team spends 6 months on requirements and design, 6 months coding, and 3 months testing, delivering nothing until month 15. The Agile team, however, delivers working software from the first quarter, generating immediate revenue that self-funds the project by the second quarter. By the fourth quarter, while the waterfall team is still coding, the Agile project has paid for itself. Though both approaches eventually achieve identical revenue rates, Agile delivers more than double the profit through early, continuous delivery, creating a compound effect on investment returns. Among Agile methodologies, Scrum emerged as the dominant framework, now used by over 70% of Agile teams worldwide. Sutherland's vision was to create a team that functioned like a multi-headed superprogrammer, where individuals worked in perfect synchronization through daily stand-up meetings, short iterative cycles, and self-organizing teams. Revolutionary concepts at the time. 6 months after implementing these ideas, his team not only delivered on schedule, but did so with such confidence that they offered customer guarantees, unprecedented in the software industry of the 1990s. Ken Schwaber, meanwhile, discovered at DuPont that waterfall methods were fundamentally unsuitable for complex software projects, as they relied on predictive planning in an inherently unpredictable environment. This led to Scrum's empirical, inspect and adapt approach, acknowledging the need for continuous adjustment based on real-world feedback. Scrum's success extends beyond software development, with organizations in healthcare, education, and government adopting its principles to manage complex projects and drive innovation. Its fundamental principles of transparency, inspection, and adaptation remain constant even as implementation details evolve. Scrum simplifies traditional hierarchies into three essential roles. The product owner maximizes ROI by prioritizing valuable work. They maintain the product vision, control the backlog priority, and remain available to answer the team's questions throughout sprints. The Scrum Master coaches teams toward better cohesion and self-organization. They lead through influence rather than authority, serving as both advisor and advocate to build trust. Team members have autonomy over work execution, choosing tools, assigning tasks, and estimating effort. While individuals bring specific expertise, everyone shares the goal of delivering sprint commitments and helps wherever needed. This cross-functional approach eliminates bottlenecks by encouraging collaboration over specialization, like a restaurant where staff flexibly assists across roles during busy and quiet periods. The sprint cycle is Scrum's fundamental rhythm, producing potentially shippable software in fixed intervals, typically 2 weeks with 4 weeks maximum. Sprint planning begins when the product owner presents prioritized stories and the team commits to work based on their velocity. Daily 15-minute stand-ups keep everyone synchronized and surface any blockers. The sprint concludes with two key events: the sprint review, where the team demonstrates completed work to stakeholders for feedback, and the retrospective, where the team reflects on lessons learned and opportunities for improvement. These ceremonies create a cadence that balances focus with adaptation, like heartbeats, providing both stability through protected work time and flexibility through regular adjustment points. Scrum artifacts make the invisible visible. The product backlog lists prioritized deliverables, while the sprint backlog contains the team's current sprint tasks. Information radiators, prominently displayed charts, keep information accessible to all. Task boards display sprint work in columns: to do, doing, done, with sticky notes moving across as work progresses, providing immediate visibility into progress. The definition of done establishes shared completion criteria, preventing hidden technical debt. Unlike acceptance criteria for user functionality, the DoD focuses on technical requirements for shippability. This transparency transforms teamwork. When work status is visible at a glance, misunderstandings decrease, collaboration improves, and problems surface earlier, like cooking with clear versus opaque containers, where you always know your inventory. Scrum is more than a process. It's a mindset shift that views software development as a journey of discovery requiring constant adaptation. While the framework provides structure, it demands discipline, transparency, and trust to succeed. Scrum's true power lies in transforming how teams handle uncertainty. Instead of attempting to predict everything up front, it embraces uncertainty and builds in mechanisms for continuous learning and adaptation. In today's fast-paced environment, this adaptability, while maintaining focus, is perhaps the most valuable organizational capability. Scrum offers a framework for building both better software and more responsive teams. The path requires trading the illusion of certainty for true adaptability. Though challenging, the rewards, faster delivery, higher quality, engaged teams, and satisfied customers prove its worth.